While it may not be ideal, it's really the best, you know, best that we can do in a not so great situation due to COVID. Unfortunately, we can't offer everything as far as in person and remote and keep everything just as it would happen in a normal year.
So how are you going to try to fight against the emotional dislocation that students may be prone to because of the rapidly changing settings?
Sure. I have every confidence in our staff that if a student is getting a teacher that's new to them, that they will quickly establish a relationship, form a bond. And, you know, the reality is a lot of years, it's not uncommon for a teacher maybe to have to go out on a medical leave or a maternity leave. Some years you even have a teacher who moves mid-year. And so, you know, that's been a change for students over the course of time, really. So I have every confidence that our staff is going to do a great job, you know, building those relationships with students.
You know, parents have said their kids are struggling emotionally this year. The best way for teachers to pick up on that is the Mark 1A1 eyeball. But how are they supposed to compensate for the lack of actual eyes on students in all but a limited amount of time this year to pick up on those things and address them?
So if you've ever worked in a classroom or in a school, it's pretty easy to pick up on those cues when you're in person with kids. Because, you know, they don't maybe seem as responsive, they don't answer, they might seem not engaged with their friends or, you know, other students their age. In a remote setting, you know, there are cues that you can pick up on. So if a student's not engaging at all with the teacher, whether it be through answering questions, doing work, just even engaging in conversations that occur with students when the teacher's on the screen, and just having, like, you know, conversations about what's happening and how are you doing. There are a lot of those cues that we can pick up on and then work with the family to help support the student.
Nationwide, in many industries, there's a trend toward retirements spurred by the pandemic. Have you lost an above average number of teachers this year to resignation or retirement?
No, we've not lost, you know, it's not been anything out of the ordinary. We've had a couple of people who have put in for early retirement, maybe at the semester that they were going to do, you know, at the end of the year. A couple of people who have opted to resign, but it's not anything atypical outside of a regular year.
No matter the level of retirements, there are always first-year teachers in any year. They need mentoring and supervision to settle them and to prevent burnout. The lack of that supervision and mentoring is a leading factor reported in teachers who exit the profession. What has the pandemic done to your systems for onboarding new teachers and getting them on track for a long career?
Sure. So we have a great orientation process for teachers new to Unit 5. And some of those people are brand new teachers, as you said. And we have coaches, so literacy coaches, math coaches, technology coaches that can check in and provide support to those teachers. Their building administrators are constantly checking in with their staff to see how they're doing, you know, with their mental health, but as well as how are they doing with their teaching, what support do they need. Building administrators have the opportunity to be able to log into those remote classrooms to see, you know, how their teacher's doing and look for ways that they can support not only the teacher but the students.
It's not as effective teaching remotely as it is in person. So is it less effective mentoring new teachers remotely compared to in person?
I don't think there's enough data to be able to answer that.
Are more teachers in a sink or swim situation this year, do you think, in spite of those programmatic efforts?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we have so many supports in place for our teachers, and I know our curriculum directors have done a fabulous job of meeting with grade levels and departments and spending a lot of time to support them, you know, if that's the desire or need of staff.
We're hearing now nationwide a potential for a larger surge than we got in July. How are you preparing for that eventuality?
Sure. So, of course, we've increased our cleaning, the sanitation. It's really about those protocols that we have in place while some people speculate what you said, others, you know, speculate with having everyone wear a mask, being more diligent about washing hands and the cleaning, that we may not see that increase. So we'll continue to monitor closely and make sure that we're doing everything as outlined in our plan.